Today on Real Life Radio.
The moment that we come to Christ is a transformation that takes place inside of us. That's why we want to always speak clear about you having a relationship with God and not grabbing onto some religious system. This church, the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Lutheran church, the Methodist church cannot save you. Only Jesus saves.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message titled The End, Part 1. The end of the world as we know it cannot be avoided, but you can be prepared for it. Peter has only a little time now left before he himself will be crucified for his faith in Jesus Christ. So his final warning is to prepare us about the danger of only knowing who Jesus is as opposed to having a relationship with him. You see, salvation doesn't come by just knowing God, but also having faith in God. When you humbly come before his son Jesus, turn away from your sin and invite him into your life. Judgment is coming to this world, that's for sure. And there's only one way of escape, and that's through salvation in Jesus Christ. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack tells us that how we face the end of our time depends on what we do with Christ's death and resurrection. We must make sure that we're not just saying we're a Christian, but truly believing that he is our Savior. And now in his message called The End, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
In your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, and just a little bit of a word. I know that many of you perhaps might be visiting today. Your church is closed and you've made a visit to us today. I just want to say that because for those of us who are family here, we go through the chapters of the Bible of a book. For example, previously we were in 1 Peter. We went through 1 Peter chapter by chapter, even verse by verse, honestly. And today, and we have been in 2 Peter chapter 3, just marching our way through. The reason why I say that is because some people are visiting and they're saying, we don't understand. We've never gone through the Bible. We were here last week and you were in just the earlier verses. And then a couple of weeks ago, we were here back-to-back weeks and you were in the same verse for 2 weeks. And it's called expositional Bible teaching. That is expository. It doesn't happen much anymore. It used to always be a Bible teaching style. It's not topical. So here's the honest truth. If you're visiting, it's tough for you to jump on in and get everything out of what we're learning because we're all about disciple making and you want to stay in and get it all out, you know? And so I just want to say that to encourage you that be open, even if today's your first day here, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Because even if you're going to be hearing things from Peter that you've never heard before, perhaps, I don't know, let God talk because he's faithful to honor his word. He's precious about that. We're looking at a message entitled The End. The End. Peter's going to talk to us about the end. What does it mean when we talk about the end? What does it mean when the Bible says the end? And I think that in the next couple weeks, you'll be very, very well equipped to understand and to be prepared for what the end means. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us. We know that you'll speak to us. We can always be confident that you'll speak when we open up your word. We thank you, Father God, that we are here on earth. Our feet, Lord, have got us here right now. Your timing has got us in this location right now. This is not an accident that we're gathered together. Your Bible is open, that which you've given to us. That means your Holy Spirit's present based upon the promise of Jesus that when the word is open, the Spirit of God will exalt you, Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you preside over all of this. We are your people, those of us who trust you, and we do trust you now. So Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us what we need to hear. And Lord, I ask especially that you would surprise each and every one of us in whatever way and whatever that means, as you look into each of our lives, may we not leave here today unaffected. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. The end is Peter's announcement in these closing verses. And I got to tell you that in your note-taking, it'd be very helpful for you. I should have actually written up a diagram or something. As I've often taught you regarding approaching Bible prophecy, regarding the first and second coming of Christ, that it's well to think of it as topics that fall under an opened umbrella. For example, when we talk about the first coming of Christ, those prophecies would be on one side of that umbrella handle. And then on the other side would be the events of the second coming. Well, today's a good way to understand that the same principle would apply. Imagine in your note-taking that there's an umbrella and there's the handle. And on the umbrella is silk-screened or printed on the end. Because when you talk about the end regarding the Bible, you're talking about a vast amount of time and a great varying description of what the end means. What's interesting to me about the very concept or idea of anything coming to an end is the fact that it's overwhelmingly true. Everything comes to an end. Everything must come to an end. And we've got this thing in our minds, and I understand it. The Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts. That means we want to think about forever. That's true, by the way. If you are a full-blown, highly developed atheist right now this morning, the truth of the matter is you still are tempted to think about forever. God's put that eternity in your heart. But also the truth of the matter is the fact that we also have a witness inside of us that there's an end coming. We all think about the end to some degree. Some people are terrified by the end. In fact, some people are so terrified, we're watching a strange dynamic that none of us have ever witnessed before in our lives regarding fear. Fear has gripped the world unlike any other time than we've ever known. And I mean that. That's not hyperbole. That's not hype. Globally, the world is crippled by fear right now. And what's bizarre about it is a fear that has locked people in place. It's bound them. And we were terrified about COVID. Terrified. Especially the young generation has been devastated by fear. And we had images in our minds of people being dead everywhere. Just for encouragement, I just started reading this week a book. Forget the author's name. I'll get it for you later or I'll post it. But the book is entitled Influenza. And it's the history of the Spanish flu. And what was happening to people. And how people were dying and how powerful it was. We've never seen anything like it unless you lived to see that in 1918. But it was horrific. Nothing like what we're seeing today with COVID. With that said, what's happening? People are still gripped by fear, aren't they? And all this tells us is that people are afraid to die. Nobody wants to die. I mean, I know where I'm going when I die, and I'm okay with the moment of death. I'm just not big on needles and hurt and pain. I don't want to suffer and then die. I just want to die. Maybe that's why, because I'm such a coward about that I'm so big on the Lord coming back today. Jesus, come back. Get us. Take us up. Let's go. I'm sure the rapture of the church doesn't hurt. I'm all for that. But the truth of the matter is people are gripped. And inside of us, there's this witness about the end. Is this the end? When the doctor walks into the office, is it the end? Well, the Bible talks about the end. I guess before we talk about the end and look what Peter's teaching us, we need to write down and hear the most important thing about the end. By the way, it's the most important thing about the beginning. And it's the most important thing in between. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of all men. That's Mr. and Mrs. Mankind. Jesus died on the cross. And in that dying at the cross, by God being dressed in human skin and going to the cross and dying in your place, instantly it canceled all human effort and human works and human morality as a means to heaven. Instantly, when Christ went to the cross, it canceled every man's effort to be good and to expect God to receive his goodness. None of us are accepted, according to the Bible, by any good efforts that we do, any morality. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all today come before God exactly the same. We are sinners. It's in our nature. But in this room, some of us are born again and some of us are not. Jesus said to be born again is to now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And it doesn't mean you're sinless. It means that the Holy Spirit now has began his act of redemption upon your life. And in that moment, you've accepted Christ. You were saved. That is, you are now devoted to heaven by God's work. And the Holy Spirit now begins to imprint Christ in your life. It's called being a disciple. It's called growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, the people that are in hell today are sinners who did not get saved, and the people that are in heaven today are sinners who got saved. Now, don't think I'm telling you that you can keep being a sinner and get to heaven. Though we are sinners, the moment that we come to Christ, there's a transformation that takes place inside of us. That's why we want to always speak clear about you having a relationship with God and not grabbing onto some religious system. This church, the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Lutheran church, the Methodist church cannot save you. Only Jesus saves. And there is no way around that. And the gospel is the fact that he died on the cross for your sins. And 3 days later, the Bible says he rose again from the dead. And I want to give you this overriding assurance that Paul the Apostle gave in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, where the Bible says there, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures," the Bible, Old Testament, "and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures," the Old Testament, the Bible. Verse 5, "and that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12 after he was seen by over 500 brethren, of whom the great part remain to the present, some having fallen asleep." That's the Christian term for some of them had died. Verse 7, "after that he was seen by James and then by the apostles." And then Paul says in verse 8, "then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time." Dropping down, look 1 Corinthians 15 down to verse 24. "Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." Church, the end for the Christian is a glorious time. You need to hear that today. You need hope today. Christians, you need to be reminded, and if you're not a follower of Jesus today, you need to make a change in the destination that your life is heading on. You need to make a change. And I want to encourage you today. I really do. This is heavy stuff. Peter's going to be talking to us about the end, and it covers a very vast amount of time, as we'll see, and there's different facets to what is described as the end. There's two things I want you to see. First thing is just a quote. It's awesome. It comes from the Westminster Catechism, the shorter. And it's a beautiful statement. Go ahead and put it on the screens. This is how the believer, this is how you and I are to live our lives. And I'm wondering if this is how you are experiencing your life. The Shorter Catechism from Westminster says, "the chief end of man," that's you, is to glorify God. That's why you're living. That's why you were given life. And to enjoy him forever. Listen, if we live to seriously apply that biblical reality to our lives, the chief purpose and meaning to your life is to glorify God. That's why you were made. That's why, listen, that's why you're miserable when you are not glorifying God. And you're to enjoy him forever. God is to be enjoyed. When God is at work in your life, you will be glorifying Christ. You'll be living a life that honors him. Peter's going to be talking about this today and next week and maybe even the week after. And we are to enjoy him, to enjoy God, and to experience his nearness. Now watch this. As we get into this study today about what he wants us to experience, notice this. Jesus now, in fact, I'm going to give these verses to you in somewhat of a clumped manner, and it should be, to be honest with you. The ministry of Jesus began in Luke chapter 4. If you remember, Jesus was announced. He went into the wilderness. He was tested, and his public ministry began. And so in all of that, listen to Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It's vitally important. It says there, so he came to Nazareth, that's Jesus, went to his hometown, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Look at verse 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Stop right there. Jesus goes to synagogue. It's normal. He's in Nazareth. This is all normal. Nothing bizarre is going on. Everybody knows him in town. He grew up there. Guess what? Listen to this. Every synagogue all around the world still to this day, on the same Sabbath, they all read the exact same passage of Scripture. They have for thousands of years. All synagogues worldwide read off the same script. Are you with me? So when Jesus goes to synagogue on that Saturday, it's normal. But it's his day to read the scripture because the week previous was some other young man, and the week after Jesus will be some other young man. Are you with me? It's his day to read. Everything's normal. People are just, okay, it's normal. The Bible says that he has the book of Isaiah, that the attendant of the scriptures hands it to Jesus because it's his day to read. Jesus turns to the portion of Isaiah. He's not guessing. It's where he's supposed to be that day, just like every synagogue in the world. They're all going to read the same thing. And Jesus, though, at this, blows our minds and their minds. In our Bible, he would be looking at Isaiah 61. This is what Jesus read and spoke out loud. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Right now, everybody's just reading along and everybody's just going, amen. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Yes, awesome. Amen. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Everybody said amen. And Jesus stopped. And they're like, keep going. And the Bible tells us that at that, Jesus stopped, closed the scroll, and he handed it back to the attendant. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that all eyes were fixed upon him. Why? Because something abnormal now was going on. And Jesus stands up. If you look very carefully, there's a little comma behind the name Lord. That's the name of God. All those capitals, L-O-R-D, caps is Yah, Yahweh, Yah. And there's a comma. Because if he would have kept reading, church, which takes us right into 2 Peter 3, if he would have kept reading past that comma rather than hand the scroll back to the attendant, what's the next passage? Isaiah 62. So the latter half of verse 2 says, and the day of the vengeance of our God. When Jesus stopped and paused, he stopped right in the middle of a verse, he stopped at a comma, and he handed that scroll back to the attendant, and he says, today is good news. and he never read the day of judgment, the vengeance of God. Friends, in your note-taking, when you talk about the end, you must also understand that the end is talking about the vengeance of God in the last days. That comma that Jesus stopped at 2,000 years ago, like a dam, has held back a raging river of God's judgment. And for the last 2,000 years, the gospel of grace, the cross, the empty tomb, salvation by faith in Christ alone has been preached. And it's being preached now to you here today. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That Jesus is the one who announces, if a man were to die, he said, believing in me, yet shall he live. Isn't that a tremendous statement? If you analyze that, by the way, in the original Greek language, it tells us that a believer can only die in his body. You say, wasn't that enough? No. No, because listen, you, who you are today, you are not your body. This body is a little part of you. I know you focus on it a lot. I mean, I do too. We put deodorant on it and formaldehyde and perfume and we paint it and dress it. But this carcass is dying, man. And this is the least important part of who we are. Christ died for us. And there's salvation in him and only him alone. And we're happy about that because there's an end coming. God has promised an end. In fact, just sneak a little bit back. Look chapter 3, 2 Peter 3. Look at verses 8 and 9. He said to us last time together, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I left off the last time you and I were together. I left off with that word. That was the last word, repentance. And that's the first word of the gospel. And God is waiting. And remember, don't get bogged down with 1,000 years in one day and trying to figure that out. It just means that God's eternal. And one day to him is as long as 1,000 years. Doesn't that freak you out? That's impossible for us to fathom. So this is a very, very important and powerful truth.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The End, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today. The End, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, we're excited to announce that Pastor Jack is going to be hosting another Bible prophecy conference. It's called Behold He Comes. Special guests, Jan Markell, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Barry Stagner. And you are invited to join us through our exclusive live stream pass. Now, the streaming pass gives you special access to watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and includes 2 hours of additional pre-recorded interviews, teachings, and backstage access with the speakers for a $5 purchase. By the way, also Spanish and Mandarin Chinese translations are available. If you'd like more information and to get your streaming pass, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. We also have a special opportunity available for churches that would like to host this conference through a live simulcast event with their congregations to watch the conference together. Now, if your church is interested in hosting the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference, or to find a church in your area hosting the event, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.